Today's episode of the Indo Daily includes discussion on suicide, so please take care while listening.
We've got some breaking news for you now. In the past few minutes, it's been confirmed that the TV presenter Caroline Flack has died at the age of 40.
Caroline Flack's death in 2020 was a hugely traumatic moment, which sent shockwaves not just through the UK entertainment industry, but the public as well.
To paparazzi and tabloids looking for a cheap sell, to trolls hiding behind a keyboard. Enough.
The months of scrutiny and tabloid pressure leading up to her suicide have left her family feeling that her death was preventable.
When the police arrived at a house, It's been reported that it was a bloodbath. That was all Carrie's blood. That was never reported that it was Carrie's.
And now major questions are being asked of the Metropolitan Police as a reinvestigation is launched into the decision to charge the star with the assault of her boyfriend in 2019.
The police watchdog has ordered the Met to explain why it demanded the TV star was charged with assault. Officers made no record of their decision.
I'm Ellen Coyne, and today on the Indo Daily, I'm joined by TRT World presenter Enda Brady to discuss the death and legacy of Caroline Flack. So, Enda Brady in London, it is now over 4 years, if people can believe that, since the tragic death of Caroline Flack. It was a very big, very sad news story at the time. I was wondering, could you just bring us back to the 15th of February 2020 and talk us through when that awful story broke?
There was just complete shock here, Ellen. I mean, she was such a famous girl. She was at the top of her game. She was at the peak of her fame. And everyone loved Caroline Flack. You know, she was only 5'3", but she was this little pocket rocket of energy. She presented Love Island. She'd actually won Strictly Come Dancing a few years earlier. And she was just someone that was wildly loved in the UK. She was a great presenter. And as I say, you know, real charisma and personality. 40 years of age. I mean, no age, absolutely no age.
Yeah, she was so young. And, you know, shortly before her career had been very high profile. I suppose one of the reasons that this story was such a massive shock to people is, unfortunately, in the weeks and months before her death, she had been in the headlines a lot and she had really been under tremendous scrutiny. Can you first of all talk us through the legal issues that she had that led to her leaving her high-profile job as the presenter of Love Island?
Caroline Flack was surrounded by photographers as she arrived at court accused of assaulting her boyfriend. Her boyfriend, former professional tennis player and model Lewis Burton, arrived separately.
So there was a late-night incident at the property in London that she shared with her boyfriend at the time, Lewis Burton, and the police were called, and ultimately it resulted in her being arrested on suspicion of assault, of assaulting him. Now, she's 5'3", he was 6'3". And the report at the time suggested that she had struck him over the head with a lamp while he was asleep. That was the initial reporting of it. She got arrested. What happened then was that the Crown Prosecution Service, the CPS, which is basically the UK equivalent of the DPP in Ireland, they intimated that a caution would suffice. And what happened then, there was something changed in a matter of a few days, and the CPS normally take precedence. They were suggesting that a caution would be enough in this situation, that she wouldn't have to go to court, just accept the caution and move on. And then what happened was the Metropolitan Police pushed back against that. They appealed that decision and they got their way. And she was ultimately charged with assault by beating. So there was then a court appearance. And it was quite clear that the way this was going, there would ultimately be a trial. And it was all very, very high profile because of the nature of the incident and ultimately who she was.
And even during that court appearance, I mean, first of all, she was reported to be very visibly upset, very shook by this entire process. But if I remember correctly, I think her partner and his legal representative was trying to make it clear that he wasn't at that point in time actually supporting the decision to prosecute her.
Exactly. And that's what was even more curious about the whole situation, that the prosecution wanted to continue with the case against her, despite the fact that their key witness, the supposed victim in the assault, Lewis Burton, He made it clear through solicitors on that first appearance. It was the day before Christmas Eve, 2019. And his solicitor said, Lewis Burton does not support this prosecution. He wants nothing more to do with this prosecution. And yet they were hell-bent on pushing on. And I think Caroline Flack's family basically now want answers, and they want to know what decisions were made and the whole process that led to that initial decision to give her a caution being turned into a charge and a court case.
And that court case was hugely influential on Caroline Flack's career. At the time, people will remember Love Island was, and maybe arguably still is, the biggest reality TV show in the UK. And Caroline Flack was like a core part of that since it had started.
Tonight on Love Island. Something's
coming. Islanders.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, Flack's here.
The public have been voting for their favourite couple.
She ended up losing that job that she loved so much from this court case, is that right?
Yes, she did. So there was going to be a winter series, which was imminently about to start in South Africa. She lost that gig, and this was, you know, hugely high profile work, £600,000 salary reportedly. And because of the bad publicity and the impending trial, the producers of Love Island felt that she would have to step back, and she did. And then they turned to Ireland's Laura Whitmore to present that series. So it all got very, very serious very quickly.
And maybe I wonder, is that why the news of her death shocked people so much? Because she had been the subject of some really vicious commentary and even some gleeful commentary from people when she did lose her job. There was the emergence after Caroline Flack's death of a kind of a be kind hashtag and a kind of online movement that promoted being more patient and understanding and compassionate with people. Did that last?
I would say it didn't last. Look, these internet things swirl around for a day or two. These, you know, campaigns and people be kind and all this. Certainly in my experience, any of the abuse that I've ever received on Twitter and other platforms, you see these people and they've all got be kind in their profile and they're spouting vile abuse at you. Look, she got extreme abuse, and you're dealing with someone who was going through, I would say it's fair to say, a very, very difficult time in her personal life, her public life, her career, and her mental health was obviously impacted by all of this. And then you're getting this kind of vile backlash online against her when people didn't know the facts, and they didn't know what was going on, and the fact that she'd lost this big job. Some people were positively delighting in it. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of people, I think, back then, need to look at what they were doing, what they were writing and saying about her, and the ultimate consequences of all those words and actions.
And we mentioned her role in Love Island, like she really was the face and the personality of Love Island, and she seemed to actually love the show, to believe that it actually was all about love and people finding each other. That obviously made her a huge name in the UK, but can you tell us a little bit more about her career, and I suppose how much of a tabloid character she would have been at the peak?
Yeah, she was front page news. I mean, anywhere she went, if she went on a date, if she was out and about, you know, she was a stunningly attractive girl. She was English. She just looked like such a wholesome, fun personality. There was all the dates with Harry Styles, reportedly. Anywhere she went, you know, she sold newspapers, she sold magazines, and she got clicks. And the people who took the photographs knew that. So her lifestyle and her appearances, what she was wearing, who she was out with, it was pretty much there for public consumption. And I think that whole kind of toxic tabloid nature of life in the UK at the time certainly fed into the story even more. The fact that this, you know, stunningly attractive, wildly successful TV woman suddenly was going to be in the dock for whacking her boyfriend over the head with a lamp while he was asleep. You know, it was all these lurid headlines. And the downfall, it's like, I guess, what the Australians call tall poppy syndrome. Mm. You know, they love people until they reach too high. And then the media love nothing more than chopping the legs from beneath people.
I'm so interested to hear what you think about that, about specifically the media culture in the UK, because I know it's a complicated thing. Sometimes people, certain TV celebrities, they kind of have a symbiotic relationship with tabloids where, you know, they feed certain material, give them access to certain pictures. But when public opinion turned against Caroline Flack, do you think that the media and tabloid culture bears any responsibility for kind of trying to take her down?
It's very easy in hindsight to look back, but certainly, you know, people needed or should have been aware of the impact of these headlines and the constant kind of drive for clicks. You know, I'm not saying it's got any better, but you would hope maybe people have learned that if there is ever, God forbid, another situation like this, that people might think, hang on, you know, we need to kind of rein in our reporting. I've worked at the highest level in the UK. I've been in meetings where people have been quite respectful of the need and how to cover a story or an issue. But nevertheless, the story still gets covered. And I think it's quite a delicate balance between being the celebrity and having the clicks and the face on the front pages and then having your own private life. So it's a delicate balancing act. I mean, you'll often see, if you go online, you'll see, oh, so-and-so modeling stunning bikini in Easter break in Barbados. And you just know, look, the holiday's been paid for by the holiday company and the tabloids have been tipped off and the photographers have been told, right, look, we're going for a swim at 2 o'clock, take your pictures and then leave us alone for the week, leave us in peace. And, you know, the smarter celebs, that's how they do it. And it's not ideal having people taking pictures of you while you're on holidays, but as opposed to getting hounded every time you go out for a bottle of beer or something or down the supermarket, you know, it works for everyone. But I think the aftermath of the Caroline Flack tragedy, I think an awful lot of people needed to look at what they were writing online about someone who was really going through a terrible time.
And as well as that big conversation about the way people's lives are covered in the media and the way we comment about people online, there also was a big discussion among the public about whether or not the decision to prosecute Caroline Flack had been in the public interest. Do you think that that was a fair decision or not?
Look, I think her family summed it up best, really, when they said that she shouldn't have been treated any better than anyone else, but she should definitely not have been treated any worse than anyone else. And I think what's happened here looks to be that, you know, the police are aware that there's a big issue around domestic abuse and the prosecution rates are extremely low. And then suddenly they've got quite a well-known fish swims into their net, accused of assault, and it's in a domestic scenario, and the victim is a male, and they're a couple, and they're in a relationship, and suddenly you've got, you know, a TV woman accused of domestic abuse. So I think serious questions have to be asked at the highest levels of the Metropolitan Police as to whether this was in the public interest going after her. Who made that decision, and who thought that it was a good idea? I'm struggling to kind of find a side to come down on, if I'm honest, Ellen, because, you know, the allegation was that she whacked this guy in the head with a lamp while he was asleep. So join up the dots, the process of the law. But why did the Crown Prosecution Service initially say a caution will suffice? So it's a very, very strange situation. It really is.
And the reason that we're talking about Caroline Flack today is this recent development. We've learned that the Metropolitan Police are set to reinvestigate the lead up to that decision that we've been talking about, the decision to charge Caroline Flack with assault of her boyfriend.
Miss Flack was arrested for attacking her boyfriend, Lewis Burton. Prosecutors said a caution was enough punishment. But the inspector persuaded prosecutors to change their minds, and Miss Flack faced a criminal trial. Her despair prompted her suicide, according to the coroner. Miss Flack's family believed detectives wanted a show trial of their famous daughter. Police denied that.
What has prompted this?
So the family have made a complaint against the police recently. And her family, this is wonderful work by Caroline's mother, Christine Flack, who says she just wants the truth. She wants the officers involved in the incident on the night to come forward and tell the truth. Now, there are reports that there may be some key new evidence that has come to light. So we don't know what that is. Is it the fact that maybe a junior officer is now saying that perhaps he was told to put something in a report or do something that he didn't agree with or fit a narrative to whatever narrative a senior officer wanted. We simply don't know. But this was all investigated at the time. The police conduct people got involved. They found no misconduct. They're standing by that. But it's clear something has changed. And they're now going to reinvestigate the decision over the difference between the caution and then pushing for a full charge and a prosecution. So that's as much as we know, but it stemmed from the fact that her mother has complained to police recently, and this is the outcome.
Has Caroline's mother and her family reacted to the decision to launch this reinvestigation?
Yeah, just a few brief quotes to the newspapers. They say they're very pleased, and they say that they will not stop campaigning until they get the truth and justice for Caroline, because ultimately, you know, this whole tragic sequence, they believe, should never have happened, should never have ended the way it did. And you have to agree with them. I mean, they're pushing and pushing and pushing 4 years on, and this is only happening and only changing now because of their hard work and persistence.
And this isn't the first investigation into the handling of Caroline's case, is it?
No, there's been a couple. So there was the Internal Metropolitan Police investigation. Again, no misconduct was found there. And then there is a police watchdog organisation, effectively, the IOPC, which investigates standards in policing. And they, again, found nothing wrong. So there have been those two investigations. But now, you know, we're back at an interesting time where the Metropolitan Police is under a lot of scrutiny for a lot of other issues. And I think the powers that be will not want any adverse publicity coming down on them off the back of this case from 4 years ago.
So do you think that that pressure is going to influence how quickly they go through this reinvestigation?
I don't think they'll be pressured in terms of speed, but I think in terms of quality of outcome, they will be very much aware that this is yet another media pothole that they need to avoid driving straight into. I mean, there have been some terrible, terrible cases, truly, absolutely appalling individuals in the Metropolitan Police who've ended up in prison for their crimes against women in the last couple of years. And this case is not at that scale, but it still does shine a very difficult light on the decision-making process at the Metropolitan Police. And I think what the public here will want is to make sure that, you know, we were told initially when all the bad publicity about the Met came out that it was one or two bad apples, and then it turned out that basically there was a small orchard. I think the public here will just want reassurance that the correct decisions were made, that they were made for the right reasons, if that is the case.
This new reinvestigation, as you explained to us there, this is really the result of the work and the tenacity of Caroline's family. And they clearly, 4 years on, are fighting for her name and for her legacy. She was so popular. At the time of her death, it seemed that anyone who had ever come into contact with her or worked with her, nobody had a bad word to say about her. I'm just wondering, 4 years on from her passing, are there others who are kind of making an effort to honour her memory?
Yeah, I think this is a good opportunity to give a shout out to Ollie Murs, the singer. They were friends, co-presenters. They got on great. And he will be singing at the Flagstock Festival. So that's a music event put on each year to raise funds for special causes and charities. Happens every year. The family are involved in that, and Ollie Murs will again be singing at this summer. So yeah, people are continuing great work in Caroline's name, and I think it's just testament to the wonderful friend she had and how respected she was and how loved above everything.
2020, I lost a really lovely person in my life, an important person that I love very much, Miss Caroline Flack.
And my thanks to Enda Brady. I'm Ellen Coyne, and today's episode of the Indo Daily was produced by Ian Doyle, researched by Dave Hanratty, with sound by Rory Bones. Archive clips from The X Factor, Love Island, BBC Newsnight, ITV News, RTE, and The Irish Independent. If you enjoy the Indo Daily, don't forget to follow and leave us a review.